If you would take your Bibles to John chapter 4 once again, we're going to continue to look at the harvest. Tonight we're going to be looking at the procedures of the harvest. And by the way, as we've talked about in the scriptures, we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman. And so we ought to know certainly the priority of the harvest, that it's important. And the principles of the harvest, the main point of the principles of the harvest was it's his harvest. And he's invested in it. He wants us to work in it. And he's going to work with us in the harvest. And so tonight, as we look at the procedures of the harvest, we're going to look at a few more things as far as our part as a worker in the harvest. And so we want to be the very best workers in the harvest that we possibly can be. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able, here in John chapter 4, I'll read out loud. You can follow along. We'll begin in verse 31. The Bible says, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, both that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. We've already looked at these things and how we can understand that the harvest is important. The harvest is his harvest. And we need to make sure that God wants us to be a part of the harvest. Look at the last part of this text here. He says that those that reap receive wages. They gather fruit unto eternal life. Both that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You see, this is not an individual thing, if you will, but it is, but it isn't. Where it's not just the pastor's job to go out into the harvest. It's not just the assistant pastors or deacons or trustees or the Sunday school teachers or the leadership of the church to go out. It is for all of us to be taking part of. As believers, as Christians, we are all part of the harvest, that we may rejoice together in the harvest. And so there's a way that we ought to go about taking care of the harvest and some things that we need to know about the procedures of the harvest. So, in other words, how to go out into the harvest, how to labor in the harvest. Because, by the way, if I say, okay, I want you to do this, all right? You're going to look back at me and say, how do I do that, all right? Unless you already know how, okay? So it's very important for us to understand that we need to do step one, you know, step two, step three, step four. You know, these things are all important as far as the harvest goes and what we need to do concerning the harvest, okay? So, by the way, If you didn't know anything about harvesting and you said, okay, well, there's the harvest. I'm just going to go out there and just kind of trounce around and I'm going to pick up this plant and I'm going to pick up that plant. And then you're trampling on, you know, several other hundreds of plants. You might be wasting some of the harvest. You might be destroying some of the harvest. You might, by the way, maybe if you're, let's say it's a harvest of fruit or a crop of some kind that has different ripening periods. You may go out and try to pick one that's too soft or too hard or not ready yet. Or you know what I'm saying? So there's a procedure. By the way, there are some plants that when you're harvesting them or off of them, if you will, that you have to be careful so that you don't damage the plant that you know, as far as harvest goes and things like that. So there's all kinds of things that we need to understand as we look at the harvest and our part in the harvest. That's why it's important for us to study. Because the Word of God gives us these procedures and these principles and the priorities that we ought to have in mind as we look at the harvest. Okay, so let's go over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right? So just before the book of John, Luke chapter 5. God wants us to work together in the harvest. He wants us to carry out His plan in the harvest. So the first thing we need to do is find the starting point. Okay? The starting point. So where do I begin? All right? And so as a believer in Christ, we need to say, okay, God, we already have accepted the fact that the harvest should be a priority. And the principle is, it's His harvest. He wants me in the harvest with Him, bringing in the harvest. Okay, we've already established that. Now we say, okay, where do I begin? All right, so the starting point is to actually go out into the harvest. All right, look at here in Luke chapter 5. Now I know that this is water. Okay, now there are some harvests that are brought in water, like rice. Okay, that's kind of cool. But this is a different kind of harvest. These guys are going fishing. All right? Now, would you agree that if you're going to go out and cast out a net and bring in a whole load of fish, right, that's going to be a harvest? Okay, so the same principle applies. I know it's not grain. It's not corn. You know, it's not this or that. But it's fish. I understand that. But it still matters. So look at what Jesus teaches them. Look here at chapter 5. And let's look at verse 2. It says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So the Lord is coming across here, and he finds these fishermen, these boats. They're done fishing. They're washing their nets. And he gets in one of the boats, and he wants the owner of the boat, which is Simon. And we know this to be Simon Peter. And this is his boat. Well, if you will, his father's boat is probably his too, by way of inheritance, etc. He asks him to thrust out a little bit, to kind of give him a little platform, a little pulpit, to teach people from that are standing on the shore. And so he's out a little ways. And things like that. So he's there and he's teaching for a while. And then it says here, now when he had left off speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Okay, so the principle here, the procedure, is that we've got to go out to where the people are. So if you're going to bring in the harvest, and I know this seems very simplistic, but folks, as Christians, this is probably the thing we maybe violate the most, is we don't actually go out into the harvest like we're supposed to. We go about our own business and our own ideas of a schedule or a procedure or a program, and we do our own things. You know, we get up and we have our coffee, and then we do this, and we get dressed, and we go to work, and we do this, and we do that. And we don't ever set an appointment to go out into the harvest. Now, at our local church, we do have a time for soul winning that's set aside for that particular purpose. On Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock, we gather together, we pray, we talk about just a little bit of the nuts and bolts of the harvest, which we're going to talk about next week. We set forth a plan, we divide up, we give out maps, and then we actually get in a vehicle and go out into the harvest for the purpose of bringing in the harvest. Okay, so you understand that Simon, they were in the boat, right? First of all, they were in the boat to teach. And then he said, when he was done teaching and he was done speaking, he said, Simon, now we're going to go out and actually harvest something. So you see, the purpose changed. He wanted the boat to be able to talk to the people and have adequate space to be able to speak to them. And then he wanted to go out and get something. He wanted to go out and bring in a harvest in the boat. And he changed the perspective. See, we go out into the world all the time, right? We go out to
go out to go to McDonald's, we go out to go to the bank, we go out to get our haircut, we go out to go to work, we go out to do this or do that, to run this errand or that errand, or to accomplish this task or that task. So you say, but Pastor, I'm going out into the harvest all the time. Yeah, but you're not going out into the harvest to harvest. You're going out into the harvest and you're just walking around. And by the way, you may be trampling on some of the harvest while you're out there walking around. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, what about the people that you don't give gospel tracts to when you're out there? You're missing some grain, and perhaps, and again, I'm guilty of this, so I'm not just preaching at you, okay? I'm certainly not doing that. But I want to say that many times, maybe, and by the way, I don't always have a good attitude to people that I come in contact with. I'm human, I'm sorry, okay? I get bothered by things, right? I can say ugly things to people because I get angry or get offended by something. You know, well, we're all human, right? But let me just give us it's a sobering thought. But how many times have we maybe turned somebody off to the gospel because of how we treated them? And guess what that is? That's kind of stepping on one of those branches or stepping on that plant and perhaps spoiling the harvest. And so we've got to realize that if, as far as procedures go, the first thing is to go out into the harvest for the purpose of bringing in the harvest. Okay? So when we walk out into the harvest, we're going to be careful what we do, what we say, how we behave, because we're going to come up to the harvest, and here's the harvest right in front of us. And I'm going to go through the right, I have the right mindset, because I am here for that harvest, to collect it. And guess what? When I'm cutting that harvest, or I'm reaping, as the Bible says, and I'm bringing in those sheaves, right? With rejoicing, and I'm cutting them the right way, I'm stacking them up, I'm putting them, and see, I'm careful. I'm not stepping on any of them. I'm cutting and gathering and cutting and gathering, and I'm working my way. I have a certain way about what I'm doing. Why? Because I'm out in the harvest to bring in the harvest. And so when this boat was being used for teaching, it was accomplishing its work. When it was being used to go out into the deep to let down the nets for a draught, there was a purpose. It was there to bring in all those fish. Of course, Peter has his excuses, you understand. But you understand that he went ahead, and I love this. He said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he was just making sure to tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm a professional fisherman. We've done this all night. We didn't catch anything. I don't think you're going to help, but I'll do it anyways. Isn't that kind of funny to put it in those terms? So he does. And of course, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which of course we understand who their partners are, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And they called them over, and they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. So you understand that ships have a buoyancy, right? And it has to do with the all the different elements and stuff like that. But these ships were so loaded down with equipment, the weight of the boat, the weight of the fish, the weight of the men, that the edge of the boat was getting so close to the water line that the water was coming over the edge of the boat. Okay? And so they're it's a little too much. And so, but the fact is that they went out into the harvest for the purpose of bringing in those fish. And so guess what? They accomplished that and brought those fish in and accomplished that task. We have to have a personal willingness to go out into the harvest to bring in the harvest. We have to say to ourselves, I want to bring in the harvest. And by the way, folks, Jesus said to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in his harvest. Well, let me ask you a question. If you're going to pray for the Lord to send laborers in his harvest, why are you praying for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest? so that the laborers will go do what? Bring in the harvest. Okay? And so when a farmer gets his tractor ready and goes out to the harvest, what is his intent? To bring in the harvest and to bring in as much of the harvest as possible. Right? And because every bushel matters. Every grain matters. Every piece of that harvest matters because that's his livelihood. Okay? And so when we go out there, and this is where we start with the procedures. The procedure number one is to go out into the harvest to bring in the harvest. Let's look here at something else. The next thing that we need to realize that we're supposed to go out and do is that we need to go out into the harvest, not only to bring in the harvest, but to be a laborer in the harvest. And now I know this thing of work is to some a dirty four-letter word, if you will, but it's not. It's a good word. You know, we ought to work. We ought to want to work for our Savior. You understand that the Bible says and tells us that that we ought to be about the work that we're supposed to do because there's going to be a time where we cannot work. Right? And so when we go out and into the harvest to bring in the harvest, we're going to have to go out with the mindset that this is going to be work. You know, it takes effort to walk down a street, go to this door, knock on this door, put a gospel track on this door, go to the next door, or go to the next car, or the next person, or the next... It takes time. It takes money. It takes effort. It takes physical ability. It takes work. Okay, work. But we ought to be willing to put in the work, to be a laborer for the Lord. And so you understand that working is something that we all need to do. Look at the text, flip back over to John chapter 4. Now remember, I told you about this circumstance. I believe that Jesus fully expected his disciples to talk to those people about himself. And yet they passed by that woman, and they passed by those townspeople, and didn't put in the work. Why? Because they were hungry. They wanted to fill their bellies. That's what was on their mind. And so as we go out, sometimes we just don't want to put in the work. We don't want to put in the time. We don't want to put in the effort. We don't want to go out and labor for the master. So, by the way, some of us may say or have the mindset, well, it's his harvest. He'll take care of the harvest. He doesn't need me. Well, he does need you. The harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. And so he needs more laborers in his harvest, and we need to go out and work. You say, but Pastor, that doesn't cut it anymore. People don't respond to that anymore. Well, okay. Can I make the argument that the Bible tells us that people in general aren't going to respond to salvation like they used to? And as we get closer to the rapture, they're going to respond even less than they used to? You say, well, back in the 70s and back in the 1600s and back in the 1500s and back in the 1400s and back in the early church and back in the 100s and the 200s, people were flocking to the gospel, and now we have to go knock 100 doors just to get one person to listen. And? What are you saying? We just have to work a little harder to get some results? And that's not okay? Well, that's not fair. Can I take you back to the story about the man that hired people at the beginning of the day and promised them a certain wage? And then he went out a little bit later and hired some more people, and he promised them the same wage. And then he went out again and hired some more people. And then by the end of the time, the last people that he hired didn't have to work but a few hours. And guess how much he paid them? And what did the first people say? Yeah, in the Greek, it's, that's not fair. Listen, I'm glad of the history of Christianity, if you will, where Peter could go out on the day of Pentecost and preach one message and 3,000 people get saved and baptized and added. I could stand here in 2025 and say, boo-hoo, poor me. I've been preaching and not one person got saved. And Peter, he got up and preached and 3,000 people got saved. That's not fair. What do you mean that's not fair? One waters, one plants, right? One waters, but who gives the increase? God does. And even in the book of Acts, who added to the church daily? God did. So you understand, folks, that as far as procedures go, we need to go out with the idea that we're going into the harvest to bring in the harvest, but we need to go out there with the idea that we're there to work for the Master. We're there to work for Him. We're there to put in the toil and the labor and the, if you will, the sweat, blood, and tears. We're there to give our all for Christ in the harvest. And by the way, if you're saying, well, you know, I'll just do a little. What kind of worker are you then? Not a very good one, right? By the way, the guys that were given the different talents, one was given five. What did he go out and do? He worked and doubled what he was given. The guy that was given two, and by the way, he was told, well done, thou good and faithful servant, okay? And the one that was given two, he went out and doubled what he was given. And he was told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one that was given one didn't want to put in the work. And he was told, thou wicked and slothful. Now, what is slothful? That's not doing the work. That's being lazy. And folks, listen to me. We have much more, I promise you, all of us, have much more that we can offer our Savior in the way of working in the harvest. We all can. I can. You can. We all can. We can do a better job of working in the harvest. Now, we know that there's expense, there's danger, there's persecution, there's all different kinds of things that come with that work. But listen, when I go out to work on something, I can guarantee you I'm going to get a cut or a smashed finger or something. You know, I might get a spot of oil on my clothes or tear this or ruin that, or I might break a tool, or I might, there's expense to all kinds of things. You know, going out soul winning, you might have some negative things come against you. By the way, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There are going to be people out there that don't like what you're doing. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. The people that that were in the tribulation period didn't like what those two witnesses had to say. And some of them came up against them, and some of them had negative things. And they cheered and gave gifts and partied when they were dead. So you understand, there's going to be some negative impact, if you will, but it's worth it to put in the work of the harvest. And so we've got to go out knowing that we're going out into the harvest, and then we're going to go out knowing that we're going to be working in the harvest. Look back at Luke chapter 5. You see that as they went out and they brought in these fish, it was so great that they had to bring other people in to help them bring in the harvest. So not only are we going to have to go out with the purpose of going out in the harvest and to put in the work of the harvest, we may need to go out and recruit others to help us bring in the harvest. You know, I'm so thankful in this local church. Look there at chapter 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Okay? They said, hey, come help us. All right? And so listen, who was the one commanded to go out and let down their nets for a draught? Simon was. Okay? Was it James and John's responsibility to do this? Were they asked to come do this? Not by Jesus, right? But who was the one that beckoned and asked them to come and help? Simon did. Okay? So, you might get out to the harvest and realize, hey, this harvest is a big harvest. I need some help. And listen, I am so thankful for our church, for those that come out soul winning. For those that come out, and by the way, some of you just on Saturdays, you're just not able to come on Saturday, and I'm by no way, shape, or form am I saying that you have to come out on Saturday or you're not soul winning. Okay, that's not true. Okay? But here's the thing. What about this? What about all you faithful soul winners waving at someone and saying, come help me? Come help me. You see, but you see, Pastor, that's your job. You're supposed to recruit the soul winners. You're supposed to recruit the laborers into the harvest. Well, yes, that's partially true. I should be recruiting people. And by the way, I do. I ask people if they'll come with me and come enter into the harvest with me, and I ought to do that. But you know what? Let me just put this out there. You don't have to answer. I just want you to think in your mind. When's the last time you invited someone to come with you in the harvest? I think you should. You know, right now, on average, we have about a quarter, maybe a little bit over a quarter of our church comes out soul winning. Which, by the way, just let me let you know, as far as local churches go, that's really good. Okay? But guess how much that leaves? 75% that we could say, come help us. We could wave them down and say, come help us in the harvest. And let me just ask you a question. Let's say over the course of the year, we see, let's call it just for sake of numbers, let's call it 20 people saved throughout the course of the year, with a quarter of our church going out there. All right, a little quick math here. So if we have half of the church come out with us, what would the numbers suggest? We could see 40 people saved. And if we had 3/4 of the church out there, what do the numbers suggest? And if we had 100% of our church out there, how many people could we see saved in a year's time from bringing in the harvest? Yeah. Approximately speaking, right? Hey, listen, folks, wouldn't that be fantastic for us to see 80 or 100 people saved in a year's time? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And listen, that's what we ought to want to do. And so if we can get people, and these are, by the way, these are already people we know. They're partners, the members of this local church. You know, James and John were just some strangers floating by in a random boat, right? These were their partners. These are people that they knew, that they were already in partnership with. They were already in league with these people. They were people they knew, people they trusted. And they said, hey, come help us. We need your help. And they came and they helped. By the way, at the end of this story, you understand that when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him to go and catch men. Who did? James, John, Peter, and Andrew. All of them. And they went, and those people that they came, they stuck with it. And for the next several years, they went around with Christ doing the very thing that he wanted them to do, working in the harvest, laboring in the harvest. And so, as we look at these procedures, we need to go out into the harvest with the purpose that we're going into the harvest. And then we need to go out and that we're going to be laboring for the master of the harvest. And then we need to go out with the realization that we need more people to help us, that we need to get them involved in the harvest. And then the last thing that I want to talk about tonight, which, by the way, you're listening fantastically, is that we must have a plan of attack. Okay? Now, next week we're gonna outline this plan of attack more in detail, but we've got to have a plan. Because here's the thing. This is not a scripture verse, but this is a biblical principle. If you fail to plan, you have already planned to fail. All right? Let me say that again. If you have failed to plan, you have already planned to fail. Okay? So, a good workman, a good person that's going to enter into the harvest is going to have a plan of attack. By the way, these guys, they were fishermen, right? They were professionals. And they let down their nets for a draught, and when they're bringing it in, the number of fishes was so great that the nets began to break, and then they realized that if they didn't have any help, they would certainly be destroyed. They would sink. And so they called for help, and they formulated a way for both of those ships to be able to bring in the great draught of fishes. Okay? So they had a plan. And they knew how to stay alive. They knew how to get the best out of what they could get. They knew exactly what they were doing. So there are many different methods of reaching people with the gospel. There are tract distribution, just inviting people to church, sharing your personal testimony, explaining the gospel verse by verse, Bible handout ministries. I could go on and on. There are many different ways and methods and forms of getting the gospel out there, talking to people, bringing in the harvest. But whatever plan it is, you have to have a plan, make a plan, use the plan, and work the plan. Okay, you got to get it done. And so we need to make sure that whatever plan that we have, that we accomplish that plan in our work in the harvest. So we want to make sure that we're doing the best that we can for the Lord. We're doing things according to the proper procedure. Okay? Excuse me. So, as we look to make this happen, we need to make sure that we're following God's plan for bringing in the harvest. Why? Because it's His harvest. So we need to go out into the harvest, to labor and work in the harvest, to recruit and bring others into the work with us, to help us, and then we've got to do it, if you will, the right way. Take your Bibles and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. It's in some of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, kind of in the middle of your New Testament, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. And let's start at verse 13. How about that? He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you see, Paul is telling them, he says, look, you're doing a good job, but you did things, in a certain fashion, and it was a blessing to me. And that fruit is going to abound to your account. So you understand that just like with things like the parable of the sower, when you sow the seed, a certain process takes place, and the fruit abounds, some 30, some 60, some 100. And so there has to be a plan, there has to be a way that we go out and we try to bring people in. It is a good thing, if you will, to get the seed out. You got to get the seed out. Okay? Because if you don't plant a seed, you're not going to have a harvest. Okay? And then you got to water that seed. Right? It needs to be watered. It needs to be cared for so that it can come to maturity so that you can harvest the seed. And then once you harvest the seed, you need to bring it into the storehouse. Right? Because they caught those fishes in those nets, right? But what did they have to do? They had to get them to shore. Okay? So they had to get them in, and there was a way to go about that. So as we take the opportunity to work systematically and cooperatively with other believers in Christ, together, in harmony and in unison, we can bring in the harvest successfully. So, I just want to say to you tonight that we've got to think about not only the priority of the harvest, we've got to make it a priority, not only the principles that it's His harvest, that He wants us to work in the harvest, that it's His harvest and He's going to work with us in the harvest, but also that there are some procedures that we need to think about, that we're going into the harvest to work in the harvest, to labor for the master of the harvest, and that we need helpers in the harvest to help us. But that we've got to have a plan. Because if we fail to plan, we've already planned to fail. So listen, as I go out there, I need to have my stuff ready. I need to have my tools sharp. I need to have my bag. I need to have my string. I need to have my sickle. I need to have all the things that I need to. And I need to have my technique. You know, ergonomics has a lot to play with how well a person does in a field, right? Because if you don't hold that thing right, or if you don't have your, after about three or four swipes, you're going to be like, oh, can't do that anymore, okay, right? So, and then there's some guys that, because they have the form right, they have the movement right, they could just do that all day, and it doesn't even bother them. You know, they just go, shh. Y'all seen those people do that kind of stuff? It's really fun. I think they even have some like contests and like that people do those kinds of things. I gotta see if I can walk backwards up the stairs. That's kind of cool. All right, but all these things have to do with the harvest. So give that some thought as you look at these things, and you think about what our part is with the harvest.